This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand. Imagine a cluster of remote islands with no movie theater, no trees, and a strict observance of the Sabbath that keeps ferries from landing on Sundays. Scotland's Outer Hebrides Islands seem to be an unlikely setting for a technological revolution. But in the second of two reports, Vera Frankel looks at how the internet is transforming the economy and the culture of the Hebrides Islands.
One of the odd things that I remember about my childhood was feeling that we had no connection with anywhere else on Earth.
Neil Finlayson, 44, the son of a weaver on the Isle of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides.
It's a very open landscape up here in the north. It's also got this kind of big sky atmosphere. I mean, the sea surrounds us. It's almost like a 270-degree view of the sea. You know, it's quite beautiful here. And I used to get very homesick. I left for 20 years. I missed it enormously.
But staying on was never an option. There were too many educated people and not enough jobs.
The irony of the Hebrides is that the education system was really fantastic here when I grew up, and still is. But the net effect of it is that many of the younger folk, you know, go away at 17 and never come back.
The reason Finlayson managed to come back was this. There's a revolution going on.
Right, guys! Come guide you.
In the port of Stornoway, fishermen unload their catch in the steely morning light, a small crane lifting the crates ashore. This unchanging ritual belies the fact that on these islands, a huge change is transforming the economy. At the heart of it, the internet. The same phenomenon that enabled Neil Finlayson to return home after 20 years, bringing his American wife and three children with him. Today, he's technical director of a cutting-edge software company headquartered in Stornoway.
It was, you know, quite an important thing to me to actually come back here and bring, I guess, the benefits of my education with me and the knowledge that, you know, there were ways to do things now that didn't involve the movement of physical goods, for example. I mean, the work that I do is all focused on information, and I can do that here. I can do it now just about anywhere on Earth, but this is as remote a place as any.
Get ready.
Early morning in the Finlayson household with its view over the slate-grey Atlantic. Eight-year-old Laramie's decided she's not well enough to go to school. But sadly for her, nobody's buying her story. And by the time the school bus pulls up, she's accepted her fate. Her father, meanwhile, is just a few steps away in his shed-come office, hunched over his computer, surrounded by saddles, bicycle parts and bits of plywood.
I'm sitting here with all the technology that I need, really. So we just keep the channels open between ourselves and our Stornoway office and the Glasgow office, and it's like we're in the same room, you know. But it's not like lifting the telephone. I mean, you lift up the telephone and it all feels kind of business-like and everything. And this is a bit more relaxed, you know.
The man who blazed the trail for islanders enjoying this laid-back lifestyle is Donnie Morrison. Morrison lives on the farm or croft where he was born. Shocked by the relentless drain of talent from the islands, he drew up an online skills register and started marketing local talent via the internet to companies worldwide.
When I started doing what I'm doing here 10 years ago, there really were just almost no opportunities for people. Most of the jobs were to do with manual labour. There were very few jobs for women. So typically fish farming and crofting and weaving. So if you weren't employed in these areas, there were very, very few opportunities for you.
Today, with the help of the local enterprise council, he's created some 300 jobs for home-based teleworkers and built half a dozen offices in rural areas where no work existed before. Soon they'll all have access to wireless broadband.
what we have achieved was even inconceivable to me when I started. I've got quite a reasonable sized team of legal secretaries working for barristers and solicitors and legal firms throughout cities in England. We also do work for the Forensic Science Service. There's a contract we started with the Metropolitan Police a number of years ago. I guess your imagination is really the limit of what is possible.
The prospect of limitless opportunities is making these remote islands a magnet for burned-out city dwellers, with all that implies for a community where the way of life remained largely unchanged for centuries. Neil Finlayson.
Any community anywhere around the world has to kind of reinvent itself all the time, and this community has, you know, it's already done it. And the net effect of that is that many, many more people are starting to put down roots. So we're just starting to see, just over the last 4 years, actually, a large number of people moving into the island who didn't have ties with the island before and who are bringing a lot of creativity in here and are starting to think about all kinds of little businesses that can again be run from the Hebrides but basically have a global market in front of them.
A lesson taught in Gaelic at a primary school in Lewis. It's schools like these, once blighted by falling numbers, that are reaping the benefit of the island's revival, while houses left empty by departing islanders are selling fast. Neil Finlayson's wife, Shannon, is one of the outsiders seduced by the local way of life.
I find that the aspects of living here wonderfully sort of soul-building, and they include things like real safety for my kids, the ability for the kids to go out and have an enormous amount of freedom, a level of peace and quiet that you rarely experience anywhere else in the world. When I go away to the city, I have a great time. I, you know, take in the culture. I see movies which I can't see here. And yet I kind of secretly long to get back.
Early evening at the Finlayson house, and young Charlie's practicing the accordion. His father, Neil, the former exile who longed to return home, is happy that his children have taken to the culture that means so much to him. And he's not at all worried that the influx of incomers will dilute it.
When people move into an environment like this, they bring with them ideas. They bring with them actually a lot of interest in the local culture. Many of the people who are here learning the language come from England, Scottish mainland and elsewhere. And I think the reality is you always need a flow. You need a kind of circulation of people and ideas for any community to be viable. And I think this community actually benefits enormously from all kinds of influences. We do have to be careful that, you know, we don't become subject to the global forces and not retain our distinctiveness, but I don't think there's a huge danger of that.
For Day to Day, I'm Vera Frankel.
That report from Worlds of Difference, a project of Homelands Productions. There's more about the Outer Hebrides at our website, npr.org.